Just restart.
No, I think we're good. Yeah,
we're good.
Let's go.
Okay, we've burned a lot of intro there.
Yeah, well, to be honest, I think you're going to have to cut some bits, but hello, James.
G'day, mate. How are you? Yeah, we can edit that, can't we? How are you, mate? Good?
Oh, I'm great. You know, just another week, another bottle, eh?
Yeah, too right.
Talk
too
about right, being alcoholics.
Yeah, right. I would say most alcoholics get through a bit more than a bottle of wine a week.
Yes.
I'd say you do it, to be honest, just on the general boozing front, if you're only doing about a bottle of wine a week,
you're probably going pretty good. Yeah, you're doing pretty well. Today, we've actually got a wine bottle, which is, you know, particularly amazing.
But it's close to our hearts.
It's very close to our hearts. It is from New Zealand,
mm-hmm.
and it isn't a...
Sauvignon Blanc.
Yes.
It's Pinot Gris, which is basically the same thing.
It's a Pinot Gris. You know, we thought we'd, you know, throw a spanner in the works, as they say here in the UK. And we've gone for this Kim Crawford.
Who is Kim Crawford? I'm actually just Googling Kim Crawford right
well,
now.
Well, Kim Crawford.
Who is Kim
It's
Crawford?
Kind of a cross between Kim Kardashian and Jack Crawford.
Oh, okay. That makes
sense.
If
you want to...
If there was a love child between Jackie Moon and Kim Kardashian.
That would be
Wouldn't you love
get.
To see that?
I would love to see.
And actually, you know, if you were going to put anyone up to the task of dating Kim Kardashian on the F2 grid, you know, a bit of a Pete Davidson situation.
Yeah.
Moon would probably be in my top five.
I reckon, top three.
He's obviously very young. Yeah, I'm just trying to, I said five. I want to think there might be some people I'm not taking into account. Obviously, like with most of these sort of things, I'd put JM up top.
JM would be up there, yeah.
Actually, JM and Kim Kardashian would be a really good looking couple.
Great kids.
Really great kids. Yeah. Yeah. Really beautiful skin kids. Tones, actually.
Amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
It would be stupendous.
Some really nice, thick, dark hair, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big
lovely.
Time.
So Kim Crawford.
It's a Pinot Gris from 2022 that we've picked up from the local Whole Foods there. Only £15. And this didn't come in recommended. Me and James just walked in and we thought, what best than go back home, eh?
Oh, Kim's a dude.
He's a dude. Oh, lovely. Kimothy?
Correct. Kimothy.
That's the one.
Yeah.
secretly
Kim's a dude
myself.
And his wife, Erica.
Lovely.
Okay, yeah, apparently they quit their jobs and they make wine. So they're obviously doing a good job if we're finding it at Whole Foods.
Oh, big time.
Yeah, well, bloody good on them. Kia kaha.
Should we get to smelling the old bouquet?
Yeah, absolutely. I do just want...
To mention the colour.
Comment on the colour. Piss.
Piss.
It looks distinctly like a heavy night out urine where you just...
I was about to say,
I need to drink some water today.
Yeah. Today's got it's rehydration time.
I hate to lower the tone out of the gate, but it does look like a heavy night out piss.
It's one of those rehydration time, you know.
It's an alarm. It's alarm bell yellow.
That's the one. Yeah, alarm bell yellow is the right way to go.
All right, let's swill it around.
And no, just to reiterate, we are not drinking piss.
Yes.
In
New Zealand, you would say that in New Zealand.
Oh, really?
That would be how you would say what we're doing.
Oh.
That bit of culture for you there. What are we doing? We're drinking piss.
Solid. This bouquet is a bit...
Lemon?
Manure.
Lemon manure. It sounds like a sort of Parker Rabanne fragrance, doesn't it? Sort of lemon manure.
Actually does.
Lemon manure by Parker Rabanne.
Yeah, indeed. No, yeah.
I think we've just found the episode title. Can we get done for defamation on that? Anyway, let's taste the wine.
But yeah, the nose is a bit lemony, a bit poo.
Yeah, it tastes like really weak apple juice to me. And I don't know if that says more about me or the wine, but...
It's quite bland. I won't lie to you.
We put a lot of ice in it, but we were running at room temperature, but...
It is quite bland. A bit zesty. It's,
I'm getting almost nothing out of that.
Minerally.
A couple of minerals.
Hint of mineral and zest.
I mean, that's a session wine.
That is a session wine.
Well, as you would say in Provence, pool wine.
Oh, I wouldn't even go that far as calling that pool wine.
No.
I don't think that wine would qualify as wine in France.
No, that's fair. I mean, look.
There's worse and there's a lot better.
I'd say it's a very New Zealand wine in that it is super digestible. Like, it's made for New Zealanders.
Oh, 100%. But the thing that's really sticking with me is that nose. really actually smells like poo.
Let me give it another go. I'm coming down with a little bit of man flu, as we've discussed.
Yeah. God, that noise is terrible.
Yeah, no, I'm so sorry.
It doesn't smell very good.
I can't smell that at all, so.
Well, there's a bit of manure there, but yeah, what would you give that old boy a rating?
I'd probably run that. I kind of like that it tastes like nothing. Do you know what I mean? Like, I kind of like that I know that there's an option out there that if I'm like, I'm not interested in
anything.
Yeah, I just want to get wankered, you know, like
responsibly.
Responsibly wankered and, you know, not really pay attention to the wine. Yeah. That's there for me. It's a great option for that.
Well, yeah, I agree. But we are scaling it on a
But if we're looking at it as a wine,
yes,
rather than an alcoholic beverage.
Yes.
Right?
I think that's the key.
I'm struggling.
Your face.
See, I'm sorry. It's a 4.5.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean I don't like it. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I know what you mean.
It tastes absolutely fine. I've got no issue. I could drink this all day, all afternoon, all night.
But it's a 4.5.
Yeah,
I'm going to go with a 4.2648 7342.
Yeah,
roughly, just about that sort of range.
Approximately.
Yeah, approximately. Based purely on the fact that it looks like piss and it smells like shit.
Quite a generous score considering those two factors.
Indeed.
It looks like piss and it smells like shit. 4.5.
Yeah, actually, imagine if you drop that down to three.
Imagine if you showed up on a date looking like piss and smelling like shit and she still gave you a 4.5 out of 10. That's pretty generous.
It's all about personality, James.
It's about context, isn't it?
Exactly. Should we dig into some racing chat?
Yeah, fuck, why not, eh?
Hey, we've got some racing stuff to talk about.
A 4.5 and a 4.2.
No, I'm going to go 3.
Okay, 3.
So I've changed it.
A heavy revision down to a 3.
3.00.
Three fat. We like it.
Well, obviously, not much racing actually happened last weekend.
Specifically none, actually.
Actually, zero.
Yeah. But there is lots of racing news that we haven't had time to cover.
Exactly. You've got it on your phone then. Feel free to throw them out at me so that I can sort of discuss them.
Just toss them, shall I?
Toss them over.
Toss in your direction. So Antonelli's a Formula One driver now. I think we did discuss that maybe a couple of weeks ago.
We did, but I don't think it was quite in depth. And obviously...
if we're looking at the signings, so it's Antonelli, Doohan, which we haven't really mentioned at all. And then Behrman, obviously, he's going to get his first full
Grand Prix.
Yeah.
This weekend. Baku, which is going to be an amazing street track.
Yes.
Usually either a dead boring race.
It's very...
Or very good.
Yes, I agree.
It's sort of a flip of the coin there.
Yeah,
you either get an absolute blinder or nothing.
And it can happen out of nowhere as well because it can look like a real shitter.
Yeah.
And then with 10, 15 to go, holy smokes.
Yeah, it spins on its head.
Yeah, massively so. So what are you looking for most? Are you looking forward to the F2?
Well, the F2 is always high-grade entertainment.
Because we've got some good shit, right? So we've got Behrman, obviously, he'll be... The talking point all weekend in Formula One world. But then we've also got Mini, Browning and Mansell stepping into F2 cars this weekend.
Well, I think the key is that you've got three rookies. You've got a championship fight that's narrowing down. Let's face it, Isaac Hadjar scoring 0 points in the feature.
I was going to say,
getting a win from the back.
It's been that strange a season. I wouldn't count Mini and Browning out of the championship at this point.
They would have to win every race and Mini is only doing Baku. At this precise moment.
Uphill struggle for him.
It would be an uphill struggle for him to go for the title. But you can never discount it in these days.
Genuinely, genuinely. What's the wager on this? Okay. Do you fancy a wager?
I'd fancy a wager.
Okay. Okay. If it's
in my favour, like the house.
We'll go either side. We'll discuss on either side and we'll figure out which side of the coin we want to be on.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm going to have to look at the stats here. But I'm looking at Behrman.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at... the combination of Browning, Mini, and Mansell. Do you reckon as a trio, they can outscore Behrman in Formula 2 by the end of the year?
Are you counting Behrman's last year or this year?
No, just this year. Because all three of them are obviously on 0 points right now. How many points is Behrman on?
He's probably around the 50s.
Seven?
I think he'd be about the 50s. He's only won sprints this year. He's sort of done a bit of a Marcus Armstrong.
Yeah, he's had a bit of an Armstrong. He's probably 13th.
at this point. I wouldn't discount it. If he's actually 13th in the chat.
14th.
Close.
And he's got 50 points.
50 points. Now, that
I don't hate their chances, but like...
Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously they'd have to... Are we considering Behrman's total tally of points at the end of the year? Or are we looking at up to this point?
I'd say we're going total at the end of the year.
Then I'm not on that
side.
Yeah,
I know. It's tough.
But if we're going at 50 points, there's potential.
It'll be interesting.
Jack. It'd be a good wager. Good
Maybe
chat.
Maybe we could make it our own championship. Like the Wine Corner Cup.
The Wine Corner Cup? Yes. Should we actually make a bottle of wine, turn it like all nice and gold and give it to whoever comes out on top?
Yeah. Because I don't really know Minnie that well. But other than that, we know that...
Well, Minnie's just doing the one race, so he's really got to score this weekend.
He's got to win, to be honest.
Yeah.
Like, we really need a win out of Minnie.
Yeah. But yeah, no, let's do that.
Okay. I quite like... We'll keep posted on the Wine Corner Cup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
All right.
We got some IndyCar news.
Doohan. We were going to talk about Doohan.
Oh, yes.
He's an F1 driver now.
He is an F1 driver.
It's pretty
amazing.
Much all I've got on that one.
No, it's pretty cool.
Good bastard.
I like the fact that teams are now going to the young guns there for sort of new blood.
He's the first academy driver that Renault/Alpine have promoted since Grosjean.
Well, yes, because obviously they did promote a driver which didn't end up driving for them in the name of Oscar Piastri.
They thought the Twitter admin person thought they'd done it for a morning.
I think everybody did. I think even the team principal at the time, Otmar Szafnauer, actually believed.
Yeah.
But obviously Oscar Piastri didn't comment on the press release.
No.
And then came out with an absolute blinder of a tweet.
Probably one of the greatest tweets of all time.
To be honest, it's still up there in my all-time favorite moments.
Out of motorsport tweets. And this actually, send them in. Send in your submissions for motorsport tweet of all time.
Yeah, it'd be a good tally to make.
We're forgetting some, I'm sure, but there'll be a few fucking good ones.
Well, especially Lewis, early 2011, 2012.
Like Lewis's Twitter in 2012 was just like the weirdest thing you can see on the internet.
Trends have changed, you know, and in 2012 it probably looked cool. I mean, I think up there, I do believe that, I think it was Lewis Hamilton actually posted a picture of Data.
Mm.
When he was at McLaren.
That.
I think he was a bit slow on the straights and just said, like, on Twitter, just sort of posted the picture going, what the fuck? And
that's awesome. I love that.
I think it was something like this. I don't know if it was Lewis or if it was another driver, but somebody's done that before.
I mean, who doesn't have a string of seriously embarrassing Facebook statuses in their closet?
You're true. Probably me, actually.
You didn't run a Facebook? You weren't heavy on the Facebook?
No, my mum and dad didn't really want me to get Facebook until I was like 15. So by then I was already running up the gram.
Yeah, you're already on Tinder by then.
Yeah, I was actually.
Yeah. You were on Tinder because you had to lie about your age on Facebook to get Tinder.
Back when Tinder was actually available for anyone over 13.
It was. I'm assuming that's not still the case.
No, I think you do have to be 18.
I think it was 16 in my day. I think you could get Tinder at 16.
Oh, maybe it was 16. I don't know. But maybe I just...
Because that's the age... That's the green light age in New Zealand.
I don't know, mate. But I believe I was in Tinder around that age.
This is a motorsport podcast,
by the way. Yeah, yeah. IndyCar news. IndyCar Scott Dixon. News.
Yeah, no real...
No news.
No race over the weekend. Scott Dixon has connected with you on LinkedIn, which is...
To be honest, it's one of the greatest notifications you can have on your phone.
What a feeling, right?
Yeah, what a feeling. You're just there. I obviously created my LinkedIn profile there, you know, becoming all corporate.
Yep.
And first notification I get on my phone, waking up one morning, Scott Dixon is connected.
Do you reckon
with
Scott
you?
Dixon wakes up every morning and just goes, is Novalak on LinkedIn yet? Nah, fuck. That's got like we'd have to ask him.
I think there's a bit of a synergy between the both. Obviously, as I got,
so you got accepted fast. Like
I did get accepted fast, and to be fair, I think that it's one of those things where I believe he knew I was going to be on LinkedIn pretty soon.
I'm not convinced he gives too many fucks about whether or not you're on LinkedIn, but.
Hey, look, don't step on my dream.
No, absolutely not, mate.
If I'm at the forefront of his mind, just having a simple conversation with the guy,
that's
enough to make my day.
Yeah, but you didn't do that. You just added him on LinkedIn.
Yeah, but that means I was in his mind for 45 seconds.
For a flash of a second, he goes, oh, yeah, that's that guy who got real wasted at the 500 dinner.
Was I really that wasted?
You were pretty wasted after the 500, yeah.
I did go home early.
You were head and shoulders above pretty much everyone else. It was funny, but like you were.
I did head home pretty early.
You were hooned. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I was hooned. Well, when am I not, eh?
Yeah, true. So Scott Dixon's added you on LinkedIn. That's all the IndyCar news that we really have for you this week. I mean, Pillow's got a hand and a half on the championship.
It's pretty much done and dusted, mate.
Yeah.
Just having a bit more of that shit. Piss.
The wine. Yeah. They're not the IndyCar series, which has been weird this year. IndyCar and F2 have both had strange years where they both feel like they've never really got going, even though we're in the final stages of them.
Agreed, yeah. Agreed. I think that...
F1, though, shit hot.
Oh, mate.
How hot?
Steaming.
That's what we've got on that, is it? Yeah, it's good. It's almost... I'm feeling quite English about it. It almost winds me up that it's gotten good because I enjoyed complaining about how shit it was so much. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, you know, things have changed. I think all of the teams have sort of converged and we need to count ourselves lucky because that will last a grand total of this year and possibly a little bit
regulation
next year.
Changes. Actually, something I'd like to bring up.
Yes.
Regulation change next year. Yep. You know that podcast we did a few weeks ago that we didn't release? I made a really good point.
What did you make?
So the FIA... And it's Max versus Lewis of 21 all over again, where we get these regulation changes. One of the big budget teams fucking smokes it. Probably going to be Aston next year, let's be honest.
Most likely.
And then you get 2 to 3 years of dominance from said team, and it's fucking boring.
If not more.
Yeah. Then eventually, after those sort of 2 or 3 years, the other teams develop their cars, funnily enough, the constructors develop them, and they sort of catch up. And then they change the regulations again. And it's like, what the fuck? And it's like, it's like, and this is the point I made, it's like that guy in the front seat that changes the song after like a minute and a half of every tune.
Just before
you're
the
like,
drop.
Oh my God, can you just fucking pick something? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, yes, I agree. I think that we're heading towards that time, so we've got to count ourselves lucky as motorsport fans for what's ahead in the next sort of 13 months. Mm. And then we'll just have to turn the page and sort of watch from afar.
Yeah, I think so. It's just disappointing.
It's just, yeah.
You know what I mean? And I hate to shit on something that hasn't happened yet, but...
Also, I've just come up with a quick question, actually, before we head into the crisis room.
Yeah.
I think this is a great time to ask the fans, actually, a particular question. Obviously, off-season chat. Motorsport's going to be pretty plain.
Yes.
There's not really going to be much to talk about from December onwards until... March.
February.
Sort of February testing period.
Because silly season's kind of getting done now.
What should we talk about?
Wine.
Yeah, apart from wine and crisis corner.
We could open up an insurance segment.
I don't think people would actually tune in. I think they'd tune out.
Yeah, fair enough.
We could talk about the world of sports as a whole. Plenty of stuff going on.
Because there's sort of the middle body of... And sorry, this is real admin heavy in the middle of the podcast, but it's sort of the middle body of the podcast is the motorsport chat, really, isn't it?
I think we should expand it to all sports.
We're going to have to expand... Yeah, we could expand it to all sports. We could... Or...
Bit of Buckler League.
Philosophy.
Oh, philosophy corner.
I could get really into that.
James Philosophy Corner.
It doesn't roll off the tongue, but we can workshop the name.
Yeah, we can workshop the name. Yeah, big time. Or something along those lines.
Yeah, but no, I think where you were going with this, mate, is it says send in your recommendations there.
For sort of a middle section of the pod.
Yeah.
Sort of the sandwich
send
in between.
In your recommendations for Clem's midsection.
That's the one.
Yeah, perfect.
Probably try and get some abs.
Yeah, lovely stuff. I was actually, Armstrong was talking to me about that the other day. I was complaining to you about this in the supermarket the other day.
Yes.
That was a real string of words to get out.
Yeah.
Where I was chatting to Marcus, we were having a nice yarn watching the NFL, and I said, oh, mate, I'm going to get into my gym stuff again, my gym routines and all that kind of stuff. So I explained what I was going to do. I said, I'm going to buy these things. I'm going to just do a little bit. And he was like, mate, that's going to do nothing. And I was like, well, I'm not, you know.
You're not looking to be an athlete.
And he goes like, what I do, and I'm like, okay, here we go. I wake up in the morning, I'm on the bike for 45 minutes. And I said, right, well, there's your first problem. I don't have time in my day
to spend 45 minutes on the bike.
To get on the bike for 45 minutes. He goes like, but mate, it's easy as. I'm like, no, you're not listening to me.
I don't have the time.
It's not the activity I can't do. It's the time I can't commit to the activity.
And he goes big time.
No, you got to do cardio, mate. Anyway, and then what you want to do is like you want to lift heavy. And I'm like, mate, I'm talking about like a living room corner gym setup. Like this
just
is
to sort of tick along.
I haven't got Ganassi throwing me a fucking $5 million gym to use as and when. You know, it's
not just that, James. It's you're not exactly looking to to become a professional athlete.
I don't need to drive a 850 horsepower wagon around a circuit every Sunday and do it to the best of my ability and better than anybody else. I don't do that for a living.
No, and if you asked anyone around the world, they would literally look at you and go, what a stallion.
So
what do you need to change?
So do you know what he says next?
What?
He says, and then I do. So then you want to probably rip into about a 30-minute plank. And I'm like, mate, I can't plank for 30 minutes. I can do, you know. And he goes...
It's one of those moments where Marcus just likes to sort of butter the toast.
Yeah.
Sort of spread his knowledge.
Butter the toast. I quite like that, but I don't know how I feel about it at the same time. And he goes, yeah, so you need to do half an hour plank. And I was like, oh, maybe I'll do a minute on, minute, whatever.
Yeah.
And then he goes like, but if you're not just like going for sort of heavy weights and the correct, then you're not going to build muscle. And I'm like, I'm not
just trying to maintain.
I'm just trying not to die in my 40s.
Yeah.
That's really all I'm trying to do here.
Well, how about dying in your 40s, eh? Crisis corner.
Yep. Bring it on.
Should we go to this thing?
Yeah,
I don't know what this
one
is.
I have no idea.
It could be a long one. Oh, it's very short.
No,
it's
short and sweet. There we go. Oh, it's a couple of
yeah. Oh, shit. I think this is the
Have it on H, and I think that will close us out quite nicely.
Oh my God. Yep.
We're good to go.
Crisis corner. Now, I've got a couple of crises for you. And it's kind of two in one.
Yep. I'm listening. I'm just going to hang on to sort myself out. But you read away.
Spain in crisis after tourist numbers plummet due to overcrowded hotspot. So the Spain tourism industry is actually in crisis, James. After a huge drop in the number of tourists visiting the country, with even locals turning back to overseas holidays and prices on the rise. Now, obviously, this is a bit of a problem for the Spanish government, especially the Spanish islands, knowing that, you know, they rely on quite a lot of tourism in the summer.
Much like New Zealand.
Indeed. And so I've tied this in with another crisis, as a Mallorca crisis. As TUI could see thousands of tourists switch to another country. So the islands have recently been at the center of rows about over-tourism.
So there's a Spanish crisis in general, but then there's a more focused Mallorca crisis.
And it seems many people could be looking for alternatives this winter, as I believe that TUI actually wants to direct their flights elsewhere, expanding operations in Turkey.
Now, yeah.
Obviously, this is a major sign that the Brits have finally turned to something else other than the Spanish coast. 95% of tourists in Spain on the Spanish coast are Brits.
And the other 5% are in Portugal.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah. So basically, Spain's gone through some huge issues as sort of tourism's plummeted.
Yeah, well, Spain's been rife for sort of economic issues ever since really sort of the early 2000s, I'd say.
Yeah, I know. But look, as a sort of tourism
expert... But tourism's kind of what that had got going for them the whole time, right?
You know, I used to work in a bunch of government positions in France, majorly focused around tourism, and you
chaired the Olympic Committee, which is obviously, you know, yeah.
Well, exactly. I mean, it was a big job for me the last couple of years to sort of organize everything around Paris. A lot of doubters.
And you know what, mate? Can I just say, good on you and Keir Kaha for stepping up and doing that, because I don't think you get enough recognition for chairing the Olympic Committee.
Well, you know,
I haven't heard one person say to you, "Hey, good job chairing the Olympic Committee." Not
and,
one,
and not even a thank you.
Bullshit.
But you know what? It's fine. Mm. I'm used to it at this point.
Yeah.
But so obviously the government, back in my time working for the French government, especially on the tourism sector, one thing that you really weren't looking for was overcrowding. And the second thing you weren't looking for is plummeting numbers. Because
you kind of want to find a middle ground, I'm guessing, between, you know.
You want to find a middle ground between the two, I think. You don't want overcrowded beaches, but you want enough tourists to be able to crowd those beaches.
Quite.
Which is why I'm not really understanding the crisis that I've picked.
No.
Because they're blaming overcrowding, but then there's apparently a plummet in numbers. So what's the problem?
Yeah, it seems like...
How can we solve this?
I guess there's simultaneously too many and too few people in Spain.
Exactly. That's what I've read online, and that's why I found this crisis particularly intriguing, is that forget the TUI move, that they're expanding in Turkey. That's just them looking out for themselves.
Okay, that's just TUI, one airline, just doing one. Yeah.
They've just decided to look out for themselves. What I'm trying to picture and trying to understand here is how can we solve a crisis that has two simultaneous problems?
The Mallorca one...
The Mallorca's TUI.
So no one's going to Mallorca anymore. So TUI's fucking sacked that off and you're going to Turkey instead. Yeah. Right, so Mallorca's too few people, Spain too many people.
Well, I don't know because I think it's the Spain as a whole and you see Mallorca's part of Spain.
It is, but Mallorca's an island, no?
Yes. Yes.
Well, I mean, you know what I'm thinking. I'll just copy the Greeks. Hoof up a ferry on that bitch.
Oh, the ferries already exist. I reckon you've got to discount the ferry prices.
You're
much of a ferry person?
I do love a ferry. I love a boat ride. I'm a real slut for a boat ride. Any kind
of
boat. Yeah.
I'm terribly seasick.
Really?
Oh, bin bag and all. Not the small bags, bin bags.
Bin bag, the old Eurovip special.
Oh, mate, I'm throwing that up like crazy.
Charming. Can we what, jet skis?
What, jet ski across?
Yeah. Tell you what.
Yeah.
I'm thinking liability issues because it can be a real natural selection tool, jet skis.
In what sense?
And that if you, it's pretty good for getting rid of stupid people.
Is it?
Mm.
Oh, well, yeah.
So.
Where are you going with that one, James?
I don't know, mate. I really don't know where I'm going with this.
There needs to be a mass movement of tourists from Marbella to Mallorca.
Now you're thinking, now here we go. Banana boat. You know, but giant, enormous fucking banana, like limousine banana boat.
No.
Imagine that. Get about a couple of hundred on at a time.
Oh, how good.
Have a fucking high-powered jet ski. I don't know why I'm so married to the jet ski idea today, but ride with me on this.
You've really sticked to it.
But and so maybe three jet skis out the front, like a sort of pack of snow dogs, you know?
Yeah. Snow dogs across the sea.
So like you sort of, what do they call those?
Banana boats?
Yeah, banana, but on the snow.
Oh, sledding. Sleds.
It'd essentially be like jet ski sledding, right? Yeah. So you get a couple hundred on one of these big old banana boats. You get four jet skis aside.
Yep.
And then that goes from Marbella, where all the trash is, to Mallorca, where no one wants to go anymore because TUI's sacked it off. They said, no, we're too good for you.
Yeah.
And so, and then it's a tourism experience. So you're getting a ride out of it.
It's a great kicker.
A terrible way to meet people, but you know, that's a detail.
It's fine. It's obviously a short travel anyway. It's probably like a 6 hour on the banana boat.
Yeah.
You gotta push it. You can't.
You might run into some chafing actually. It's 6 hours on a banana boat.
You'd run into some chafing.
Would you want to straddle a plastic banana for six hours?
Not just this, mate. I'm thinking about the waves, mate. You may have to replace a couple of vertebrae when you get to Mallorca.
You'd have to raw dog it as well because you wouldn't want to hold your iPad on that situation.
You couldn't. I don't think you could.
So you're raw dogging a banana for 6 hours all the way to Marbella.
Yeah.
Or from Marbella, excuse me.
Yeah.
Or to and from.
No, I reckon two. Because, from.
How do you get out?
From, yeah. From Marbella.
Yeah, it's got to be to and fro.
To Mallorca. Yeah.
Oh, no, I think there's
then
a business
they can just
here.
Fly home. Should we just open
this? They can't fly home because TUI's just stitched them up the flights, haven't they?
Oh, shit, yeah. So it has to be a to and fro.
It has to be a two-way situation.
Oh. Bit of, you know, sort of a...
Okay, so we're back to the drawing board.
No. Are it's we? Fine. Yeah. I think it's fine. It's just we have to expand the operations to have maybe six or seven of these banana boats.
Maybe.
You got to do it en masse.
What if we operated a tax cut? Here we go.
Yeah.
I've solved it. A tax cut for anyone with a super yacht. You can marina, what do you call it in Spain? Dock it?
Dock.
You dock in Spain. That's your home base, your harbour there.
Yep.
So if you've got a yacht that's bigger than, give me a number, 35 metres, 40 metres?
Oh, that's just large, mate. I was going to go 25, 30.
30, 25, 30.
You want to include the whole populace.
No, you're right. You don't want to, because you don't want to exclude the middle class. So if you've got a yacht that's bigger than 30 metres.
20, I would go 20.
25, okay. So we'll include some of the lower class. And so no taxes if you are operating a 25 metre or longer yacht, but you're utilising that, you're chartering that out.
Oh, I see. To ferry people.
To people who would like to go to wherever they want to. Or anywhere. That's the beauty of a boat. It's not a train line.
Oh, my God.
So if you...
Yeah, so we're solving the overpopulation crisis in Spain, in Spanish beaches.
And
they all want to be on the boat.
Yeah. So you go to Spain and you can just travel around on super... around the coast on a super yacht pretty much for free. just because the Spanish government's been like, come on, all right, if you've got a big old yacht, you don't need to pay tax.
Holy shit.
So many people would want to go to Spain. Oh, wait, no, that fucks the problem, doesn't it?
That fucks the original problem. But maybe do that in Mallorca.
Yes, there you go.
Just in Mallorca.
Okay, so we're going to need to colonize. We're going to need to invade Mallorca.
Yeah.
Colonize it.
Yeah.
Set up a new government body whereby there is no tax for yacht owners.
Yeah.
And the Spanish government would get on board with that. They've been involved in some dodgy shit over the years.
I think we've just solved a crisis.
Yeah. Okay. So all we need is a military.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, a military and some banana boats.
Invade Mallorca. And some banana boats, just a backup.
Just as a sort of a backup option.
Hell of an invasion. Banana boat sledding. It's 400 tourists stacked up with AK-47s that probably won't fire from the seawater.
Hey, do you know what? That could be a Steven Spielberg movie.
Fantastic. But, well, okay, so we're going to invade the beaches of Mallorca and set up a new tax regulation system there.
So that everybody can come to Mallorca and leave Spain. Solves two birds, one stone.
Solves Mallorca's problem. It gets people away from the Spanish coast, which solves Spain's problem.
I can even be in a government position on the tourism board like I've been for France for so many years.
Do you reckon there's going to have to be a shut-off point with the yachts? Because otherwise every billionaire is just going to be like...
No. It's a big island. Trust me, there's not that many boats above 35 meters.
You'd probably want to regulate it slightly, and maybe you'd say for every 10 million euro of net worth, you need to have at least one yacht over 40 meters in operation.
Oh, you see, like...
I think that's fair. Yeah. I think that's fair.
Sticking it in sort of categories.
Yeah.
Solid.
Fuck, how good are we at crises?
Mate.
We should not be in politics.
No, we should definitely not be in politics.
Doesn't pay well enough.
Well,
unless you're really pulling this. Anyway, we won't get into that.
No.
That's another Clem's Wine Corner for the week, mate.
Mate, how good's that been?
Now, is that fucking 12?
12, 13? I don't know.
Is that 3 months?
Yeah.
Look at us.
And consistent.
There you go, Ish.
Cheers, you sickos.
Yeah, cheers, you sickos. We'll see you next week, yeah?
Ciao.